Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show. QT and Sign Guy with you yet again. Real quick, before we bring our guest on today, some show notes. Tonight, WCWO happening in Indianapolis, Indiana. SICW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. SCW, where I will be later this evening, in Bremerton, Washington. HOG in New York City. And the NWA featuring a world title match in Sherman, Texas. Tomorrow night, EPW in Freetown, Indiana. Empire in Rossville, Georgia. MFPW in Paulsboro, New Jersey. PWS in Sayersville, New Jersey. And Gouge Wrestling happening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Also, very quickly, I want to take a moment. This past week, Hoosier Pro Wrestling losing one of its original roster members, someone that was around for the formation and the early success of that company, someone that I knew very well and worked with when I got into this business, that being Psycho. So we're going to do a 10-bell salute in honor of the late Psycho. With that being done, our guest coming to us today all the way from the Midwest, he is the Mad Dragon, Hakeem Zane. Mr. Zane, thank you so much for taking time today to be with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Since it's your first time on our program, we're going to give you the traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into professional wrestling?
I'm sure, you know, most people's answer is the same, that they grew up watching it. Mine's no different. I fell in love with it as a little kid. Like, my first memory, I don't really remember how I got into it, but my first memory of wrestling was NWA. It was Saturday night, and they were showing clips of the Road Warriors versus the Russians in a Russian chain match. And I just remember, you know, the Road Warriors, they were huge, you know, jacked out of their mind. And they just look like real-life superheroes, and they look cool as hell, and Mad Max was very popular at the time. And so they reminded me of, like, people out of the Road Warrior, you know, and plus their name is the Road Warrior. So, and I was hooked. And then I fell into, like, Hulkamania and stuff like that, and I always wanted to be a wrestler, never thought I could. It wasn't until I got wind of, like, the Super J Cup stuff with, like, Eddie Guerrero, Benoit, Rey Mysterio, a lot of those guys, and I was like, oh, these guys are, you know, cruiserweights. And when WCW brought them over here years later, that's when I started trying to get into wrestling, professional wrestling. I had planned on going down to Lima, Ohio, at Al Snow's gym, Body Slammers years ago. I couldn't afford it. And then I just happened to find a place, a guy that could teach me the basics that was legit and that was affordable for me. And then it just, I got in the ring since then, and I've been going ever since then, so since 2008. So, well, the training started in 2008. I started wrestling in 2009.
Now, you talked about Body Slammers ran by Al Snow. He's trained quite a number of people, and to this day he's affiliated with Ohio Valley Wrestling and helps with the training down there. If someone came to you right now, who would you most recommend as a trainer for an aspiring professional wrestler?
I started out with a guy by the name of Xavier Justice. I definitely, if you get a chance, you know, check him out. I recommend him. If not, definitely Health Truth, Truth Martini. That's why I went to kind of cut my teeth, perfect my craft, still go up there from time to time, learn the ropes. And that I definitely recommend, probably, you know, Truth is the guy, he's managing the world champ, Ring of Honor world champ right now. You want to get yourself some notoriety, you want to get yourself in the ring with some really good guys. Definitely House of Truth.
Truth Martini is one of the very few managers left on the national stage. It's kind of a dying art.
Yeah.
Where do you see managers as it relates to the independent level today? And do you think that managers are something that the big national companies are not utilizing correctly?
I can't really speak, you know, for like WWE level. I think Truth, like you said, it is a dying art. I mean, you take a look back and look at all the great managers, Freddie Blass, Bobby Heenan, and Jim Cornette, Gary Hart, just to name a few. I think Truth Martini, he's cut from that mold. And I think one of the last guys to be like that is Paul Heyman. You know, yeah, he's an advisor or whatever, you know, but he's a manager. He's Brock's manager and a fantastic mouthpiece. I think if more guys could get the chance to be a mouthpiece for certain guys, I think managers would be fantastic. You know, I think it shouldn't be a lost art. I do think managers could be very beneficial to professional wrestling, sports, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. I think when you look at Truth, not because I know the guy, but just when you look at him, he's so entertaining. And the dude is brilliant when it comes to professional wrestling. So and you look at him out there with Jay Lethal, and it's fantastic. And I'm happy that I get to roll with him just to pick his brain and feed off of him a lot of times. Like, yeah, I think it needs to be given a second chance. And I think Paul Heyman, if you look at him, he's the guy to really revolutionize that again, bring managers back into the fold.
Yourself, you're called the Mad Dragon, Hakeem Zayn. And years ago, there was a mad dog, that being Buzz Sawyer. Is there any comparison between yourself and Buzz Sawyer, both using kind of an animal that is mad as your ring name?
Big fan of Buzz Sawyer. I'd have to say if there's comparisons to him and I, it would be intensity. I love to be fierce and intense. The Mad Dragon actually comes from two things. It came from years ago. There used to be this Jamaican rapper called the Mad Mind, and when I was a kid, I was like, man, that's a cool name, Mad Mind. But it also goes from martial arts movies, old Kung Fu movies. Old Kung Fu movies, everyone always had like a cool name, you know. He's like, oh, he's the kid with the golden arms or something like that. And I always thought, like, man, it'd be so cool to be like the Mad Dragon, you know. His style is so mad and fierce and he's intense. And that's where the Mad Dragon came from, originated. But, yeah, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, awesome. I remember watching him with the feud, what was it, J-Tex, when it was him and Muda and Terry Funk. And they were managed by Gary Hart going against Sting and Flair. That was so hot back in the day, you know, and it was good stuff. And, yeah, Buzz Sawyer, he was always cool to watch because, you know, he always had that big splash off the top. And any comparisons, I definitely have to say, would be intensity. And nowadays, though, I try to go more by Hakeem Zayn than Mad Dragon. I think, you know, as much as I loved it coming in, I think Hakeem Zayn shows more of mature, how much I've grown. That I don't need that anymore. But some promotions like to use it, and that's cool. I don't mind.
As someone that travels quite a bit around the Midwest and you work in various promotions across several different states, I'm sure you've picked up a few favorite venues that you really enjoy going to and performing in. What are some of your favorite venues that you have come across in your career?
FICW, the Imperial. when we do our Imperial shows, it feels like a legit event. It's a huge hall. The atmosphere, it feels like it's, you know, a big show. It looks, the way it's set up, it looks like it's a big show. The crowd's hot. The matches are hot. That's when you get all, like, a lot of the big names in there. And it's cool because you get the big names in there and it makes you step up your game because you want to be just as good as them, if not better. So the intensity and the atmosphere is really, really, it's really energetic. Another place, two places down in Indiana, I think it's the Armory in Bloomington. It's for Infinity Pro. It's around, I think it's like a college area. So a lot of times you get that crowd, and that crowd's hot. And then over at Pinheads down at White River Wrestling in Indiana, that crowd is always hot. I wrestled Ace Perry down there recently, and it was one of my favorite matches of the year because the crowd was just, they were there for everything, you know, and it was a big crowd. They were packed, and they were split, you know. Some people, they liked me, and some people liked him, and no matter what we did, the crowd always reacted, and that's what I love. I love stuff like that.
You mentioned Ace Perry, who is one of the top young performers in the Midwest right now. Besides him, who are some of the younger guys out there that you think fans might want to start paying attention to as they rise to the top of this industry?
I'm going to be a little biased here, and I'm going to, and it's not because they're just my friends, but I believe they're good. Orlando Christopher, Kid Hybrid, I think is probably one of the most underrated guys. You could put him in the ring with anybody, and I've seen him be put in the ring with anybody, and the match is going to be good. I've watched him work with Davey Richards, and it was a fantastic match, and he hung in there, you know, move for move, hold for hold, and they went out there and they worked, you know, they went out there and had a great match. He, in my opinion, is like the top guy in Michigan, and there's a lot of guys in Michigan. The Painkillers. Indiana might be familiar with them. Jake Hollows, Donnie Hollows, probably one of the best tag teams you'll ever see. Right now, up in Michigan, Jake, who's going by the name of Jake Something, he's doing his own thing. Fantastic. The guy, he looks like a professional wrestler. He looks like he's huge, sculpted, you know what I mean? And he can wrestle his ass off. Joel Coleman's another guy. He came out of OVW. He's up here in Michigan right now. He goes and travels. Trains up there at Tyson Dukes' place up in Canada. Phenomenal talent, great charisma. The Scarbonis, they've been wrestling for a long time now. One of the best tag teams you'll ever see. I always they remind me of the Midnight Express, you know. They can go anywhere. We went to a show that's very high-paced, and they have a really old-school style, and they wrestle these guys and do, you know, they're very high-paced, and they wrestled their match, and they were so over with the crowd. It was fantastic, you know, and a lot of those guys. And there's some guys down in Indiana, too. Jake Ullman, Scotty Young, Russ Jones, a lot of guys like that, definitely. And Ace Perry, Owen Travers, another guy, another good guy people should be looking out for. Like, and that's one thing about indie wrestling. It's like if someone doesn't, like if you're not wrestling for one of these bigger, well-known promotions, a lot of times people don't want to give you a shot. There is so much talent out there that can be put in the ring with anybody at any given time and steal the show. It's just, you know, we just need our opportunity and we need that chance. Give guys like that a chance, man. There's so much talent out there, it's ridiculous.
Very, very true. One of the things that a lot of independent wrestlers strive for is inclusion in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500, which is an annual magazine that's come out for well over 20 years now. Some people claim that it's not quite the prestigious list it was. Some people very, very much want inclusion into that. What's your opinion on the 500 as it stands today?
I still think I think it's good to be in it. I finally got in it last year. I think I was like 341 or something like that. And to me, it's a good honor to have your name in that magazine. As a kid growing up, I remember we'd always get the magazine, And we'd always, you know, oh, where'd so-and-so rank? And we'd have like, okay, well, who's this guy? And then we'd find out who this guy is, and we have dream matches. I think it's cool. You know, some people think it's whatever, you know, and they think it loses its prestige. The world as it is, things are so different nowadays with the way, you know, the internet is, and everyone has an opinion and stuff like that. So everyone's going to rag on something. I still think it's cool, you know, no matter what happens, I think it's an honor to get your name in that because you're sharing the same page with someone that's on national TV a lot of times. So, you know, good for us. You know, why not? What's it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt anything. If anything, it may make someone look you up, like, oh, who's this guy? He has a cool name. Well, let me check him out. Or they see your picture and they're like, oh, he looks pretty cool. Let's look up more of him. It's just an opportunity. It's another opportunity to get your name out there. Why not? You know, I definitely want my name in there.
Another avenue that independent wrestlers have to not only get their name out there, but to make up a little bit of money when they're trying to supplement what they make in the ring is merchandise. I'm sure you've seen a lot of merchandise tables in your career. What are some of the most unique pieces of merchandise that you've seen wrestlers trying to sell to the fans?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Owen Travers is the king of merchandise. If you ever look him up, that dude has custom nunchucks. He has, like, pictures of him, like, coming out of a comic book. That guy is the king of merchandise. He's so creative with the stuff he does. He just made, like, a Power Ranger helmet. The dude we wrestled at Comic-Con one time, and he made an Iron Man costume. It's so I would say anything that he's selling to people is unique in my opinion because he's so creative and he knows how to do all the Photoshop and stuff like that. Anything he sells, nothing really sticks out off the top of my head. Benny Boone, he has some really great T-shirts. I've seen we were at a show in Bay City, UCW, and I saw that his T-shirt. Spread, and that was fantastic. Idris Abraham, Abe Action Jackson, he has a really cool Astro Boy style T-shirt. That looks really cool. I'm the worst. I have designs, but I haven't even come out with my merch yet. I'm so terrible with that stuff. I need to hurry up and do it.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and he has questions as well, so I'm going to hand things over to him for a bit.
All right.
Thank you, Sai. Hello, Hakeem.
Hey, what's up?
Hakeem, I saw your YouTube video entitled Hakeem Zayn Talks About the Season Final of Infinity Pro. Now, you were in a room with a filing cabinet, which was gray. My question is, does this filing cabinet contain surveillance footage taken over the past few months of all the wrestlers you have beaten, and in particular, Adam Buehler, Percy Davis, and Jay West?
You found my secret weapon. Wow. Good eye, QT. Good eye. That filing cabinet has all the documents of all the indie wrestlers that I've ever worked with or will work with in the future that I know of. I have all their tapes, their matches, and their interviews scouted. I know their weaknesses. I know their strengths. Good eye, QT. Good eye. Way to point that out.
Wow, and I bet you have the key hidden in a special place.
Oh, I can't tell.
Oh, okay. Hopefully it's not in a prison setting where you're hiding the key.
Yeah. No.
Oh, all right. Well, now to your knowledge, have Adam Buehler, Percy Davis, or Jay West ever stepped into the ring with 102-degree temperatures and done as well as you did?
I'm going to say no. I know Adam Buehler has done some crazy stuff. He does a lot of the deathmatch stuff, but I don't know if he's ever wrestled with a 102 fever. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him next time I see him, I'll see him in September on the 26th. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to say no, they have not.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, Hakeem, your universal weightlifting plate is 45 pounds. In your YouTube video, where you're talking about Infinity Pro, you have two plates on the bar for 90 pounds. You throw in the 35-pound bar. Well, I think it is it 35 or 45?
Man, I think the bar is also supposed to be 45. So it'd be 135 altogether, right? Am I right on that? My math fit on that?
Yes. 90 and 45. Yeah, about
so there you go.
Were you just starting to warm up that day in what was probably a nonstop 90-minute workout?
Yes. You know, sometimes I try to get that pump in before the promo so I look extra big, but I didn't have it that day. We cut the promo first, and then I was probably getting ready to hit the workout.
I'd say
90 minutes. I'd say at least hour and a half. So, yeah, about 90 minutes. Good call.
Wow. You're
spot on, man.
Well, when in these interviews, I usually am. You know, that video kind of reminded me of a sunrise where the temperature was just beginning to warm up like a newly arrived sun. Yes. Well, Hakeem, I also saw your YouTube video entitled "Hakeem Zayn Has Words for His August 16th Tag Team Match." That, like your video, Hakeem Zayn talks about the season finale of Infinity Pro. This takes place in a room that is deep red in color. Both of those videos. Now, in the first video, you say your mom named you son because you shine like one.
Called you son.
Well, shouldn't these two rooms and these two videos have taken place in a room that was painted bright yellow with a blue ceiling?
I don't think that looked that good. And I'm pretty sure if I wanted to paint it bright yellow with a blue ceiling, my wife would kill me. So, yeah, the red would have to stick. The red's going to have to stick.
Oh, all right. Well, would your wife agree to a lemon yellow color? That's what I'm asking.
Lemon yellow? Man, yes. The fact that you said you actually called the yellow something besides just yellow like I would do, she might. She might.
Oh, all right. All right, well, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the Japanese symbol stands for on your right pectoral chest muscle? Is it indeed a symbol for the rising sun?
It is not. I got this when I was 16, and it stands for madman.
Oh, madman. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a madman reference to the show? Madman?
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay.
This was long before then.
Oh, all right. Well, you said Joel Coleman like you shares a love of comic books. My question is, did you ever split the gas money with him and go to a comic con in Chicago?
I would love to go to the Wizard World out there. You know, I was at the Motor City Comic Con. Joel Coleman, huge comic book fan, right? I know he's in the Detroit area, so I give him a text. I give him a shout. I said, hey, are you coming to Comic-Con? He's like, no, I'm not going to be able to make it. I've never been to a Comic-Con. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Joel Coleman, I hope you're listening. I'm calling you out, buddy. The man who loves comics has never been to a Comic-Con. Maybe we can do that. Maybe we can hit up a show in Chicago. We both can get booked on it. We'll split the gas money, and then we'll hit up a Comic-Con when it's in town. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can get this set up.
Wow. I'm going to take this moment also to call Joel Coleman out. Joel, get your ass to a Comic-Con by order of QT. Yes.
There you go.
Oh, all right. Well, Hakeem, how long would it take you from the opening bell to make Marvel comic book founder Stan Lee to tap out from an abdominal stretch applied by you?
From
what I hear. Yes.
Stan Lee, man, I swear, like, I got nothing but love for Stan Lee. I couldn't do that to him. And the dude's been around comics so long. He's been around forever. As far as I know, he's immortal. So he probably knows some tricks that I don't. So I probably wouldn't even dare step. I wouldn't even dare touch Stan Lee. The guy's probably like a freaking Jedi Knight or something like that. He would just smoke me. He's probably like an old Kung Fu master. Has two-hit technique, and then you're done. So, no, I don't think I'd test the waters with Stan Lee.
Wow. Did you know that Stan Lee once co-starred in a movie, an Oriental arts movie called Enter the Fist?
No way, really?
Nah, I'm working you. But that would be cool if he did. That's what I'm getting at, yes.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes. All right. Well, Hakeem, who is Truth Martini, and what are his duties as life coach?
Life coach, giving you the best advice, or in the world of words of Arnold and Pumping Iron, the best advices for all my meatheads out there. Truth Martini is the man with the plan. He has it all. You need a strategy, you go to Truth. You need some advice, you go to Truth. And guess what? The Truth always will set you free. And the Truth wins. Look at the House of Truth right now. We're champions. All of us are carrying gold. That man knows what he's talking about. He is the guru of the House of Truth. Not just the trainer, the guru. He can show you the moves, but he can show you the plan, the strategy that's going to make you a winner.
Wow. All right. I'm marking down Truth Martini in our notebook. Yes. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Hakeem, my wrestling sources in my hometown of Longview, Washington, tell me that the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, was a huge influence on you. Was he a bigger influence than, say, British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith on you?
Yeah. I love Davey Boy. I love the British Bulldogs, Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith. I always loved the power, you know, of Davey Boy, but the intensity of Dynamite Kid and just everything he did. But Dusty, man. Dusty had that charisma, baby. They make a dream if you will. Dusty, he could talk, he could wrestle, he could do everything. And Dusty was like more than just a wrestler. He was the entertainer. And when you watch Dusty, you're just like, wow, this guy is awesome. And it was just great, great, man. I wish I could have half the ability and charisma as the American Dream and just be able to capture the audience attention like that. If I could just have half of that, you know what I mean? I'd be golden.
Well, from what I've seen, I think you're halfway there. Yes.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Hakeem, I also saw on your YouTube, your match entitled UCW Bay City Fan Cam. Mad Dragon Hakeem Zine versus Jake Something.
Ah.
At the 9:13 and 9:16 mark of the match, you spring off the mat and your right knee connects with his chin on both occasions, which is not an easy task because his chin, I'm going to estimate it's 5.5 feet off the ground. My question is, are you schooled in the ways of Oriental arts? And did you study in a dojo?
I actually trained Wing Chun Kung Fu for like six, seven years and ended up getting my black sash in that. And then I started to train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the gym I was going to. And it was no-gi, which means I don't know if you're familiar with the gi, but you're pretty much, you don't have like it looks like a karate, you know, gi, but it was no gi. We were just training. It was for more MMA style, and then I started to do some of the MMA training. So yeah, definitely skilled in the world of martial arts, just a tad.
Wow, you could have done a lot better than Kip in Napoleon Dynamite at Rex Kwan's dojo.
Oh, dude, hey, Rex Kwan's, yeah.
Yes.
Break the lock.
Oh yeah, it's that simple, people. Wow. Well, now Jake kicked out at the 2 7/8 count following these two chin shots from you. Indeed, The ref's hand was coming down and about to hit the three count. Were you surprised at Jake's ability to absorb punishment?
Yes and no, if that makes any sense. I knew the big meathead can take a butt whooping because I've given him one before, and he's given me one before. But the way he fell, I thought it was over. The way I hit him the second time, boom, flush on the chin, night-night. But the big man kicked out. So, yeah, I was kind of, God damn, this big SOB.
Yeah, it does look like he's put in the weight work, that's for sure. Yes.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I'll give him that. He's definitely a talented individual.
Now, this match took place at the Prime Event Center on May 16th of this year. Was this in Michigan?
Yes, yep. Bay City, Michigan, yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Hakeem, I also saw your match entitled WRW, the Mad Dragon Hakeem Zayn versus Ace Perry, whose son I mentioned before. At the 304 mark, after a series of very quick ground attack moves that seemed to have Ace Perry slightly bewildered, you sat on the middle rope and held the top rope up and said to Ace, "It ain't too late, Jack." And you mentioned with your hand that he could have the option of leaving the ring. Well, at the 357 mark to the 405 mark, after a series of moves that put you down on the mat, Ace sat on the middle rope, and at the 408 mark, and he told you that it was not too late to quit. You had to slap your hands in grudging approval. Were you beginning to have the seeds of doubt that you had slightly underestimated him at this point, Ace Perry?
Kind of, but if you notice the tone in his voice, he was not confident in saying it. If you go back and watch the video when he says it, he kind of like, it's not too late, pal. There wasn't confidence there. So I definitely thought it was a good, hey, I got you too. That was funny. I found it amusing and clapped my hands. But then he just told me I had to turn up the heat on the kids. So and that's exactly what I did.
Well, all right. Okay.
Hey, speaking of Ace Perry, I think it's October 26th or 4th, whatever that Saturday is, we're going to have our rematch down at White River Wrestling. So definitely you can, we'll see what he has. We'll see what lessons he learned from the last time.
Hey, that's close to Halloween.
Yes, that's it is.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Hakeem, at the 1333 mark, Ace launched himself torpedo-like through the middle rope and hit you with a modified suicide dive. The impact drove you an estimated 13 feet from the ring. Ace immediately got back in the ring to launch himself again through the middle rope at the 1340 mark. This time, you landed about 15 feet from the ring. Once again, shortly after contact, Ace hurried back to the ring and launched himself through the middle rope again, torpedo-like, at the 1346 mark. This time the point of contact was made at about the 16-foot mark, and you landed about 19 feet away from the ring. My question is, do you know if Ace ever served aboard Navy submarines, and if he did, was he in charge of torpedoes? Yes.
Oh, my God, that's what I thought that day, because he kept coming and coming. I was like, what? I'd get up, bam, another one. Get up, bam, another one. Get up, bam, another one. I was just like, oh, my God, stop. And each time he just kept flying further, further, and further. I got to give it to him. He's a talented individual.
Yeah, it was like a nuclear submarine launched to spread the torpedoes. Yes.
He did that or like missiles or something like that. It was crazy.
Yes. Well, now, to your credit, you came down from the top rope and planted both your boots on his stomach at the 14-minute and 50-second mark of the match to take the air and fight out of them. And you secured the win at the 14:55 mark. Question is, were you willing to risk an ankle sprain by having one of your feet roll on his slightly less than rock-hard stomach, but almost rock-hard nonetheless?
No, I have faith in my double stomp that it can finish any chiseled abdominal in any individual.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
that's
now
crushed
you
bigger men.
Oh, well, this brings up the question, what's the biggest man you've ever faced in the ring? Would it be kind of like Perry Saturn, kind of like? In
Moose.
Oh, Moose.
Moose. You're familiar with Moose, correct?
If it's a man with the antlers, yes, I am. But I'm probably not thinking the same Moose.
No, he is he's one of Ring of Honor's up-and-comers, huge former football player, 6'5", 300-pound man, and I gave him his first single match in Ring of Honor, and yeah, that was something else. It's probably the largest man I've ever stepped in the ring with.
Ooh, 6'5", 300, jeez. Wow.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He might be over 6'5", actually. He's probably like 6, maybe 6'6". He's a tall gentleman, and he's built. Built like a brick wall.
That's about the same size as the Seattle Seahawks left tackle.
I can't remember who he played for. He played for somebody, but yeah, he's a big dude.
Oh, did he play like Canadian football or the semi-pros or even the pros in the United States?
I thought it was the pros. I could be wrong, but I thought it was the pros.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, Hakeem, in this match with Ace Perry, you hesitated at the 15:51 mark after the match was over while exiting the ring, and then you went back in and had a good show of sportsmanship to Ace. This reminded me of when Sheldon of the Big Bang Theory gives grudging respect and admiration to Howard Wolowitz, even though he only has a master's degree.
Freaking Howard Wolowitz. That's what it felt like too. That's what it felt like. All kidding aside, Ace, he earned it. You know, he battled out there. I felt like he did a lot of good things out in that ring that took me by surprise. A lot of the cool counters. Yeah, he earned it. You know, and I look forward to the rematch.
Wow.
I didn't give it to him, no. I really didn't. I didn't. I mean, like you said, I begrudgingly, I was just like, you know, he really earned it. Should I shake his hand? I guess I'll go over there and give the kid his due. You know, and when I went backstage, I had to go there and dropkick a child or something like that just to make myself feel better afterwards. Like, ah!
Oh,
God, I feel much better now. Did my evil deed.
Well, when you see Ace Perry next, tell him that he does look a little bit like Howard Wolowitz, and I mean that with the highest compliments. Yes.
I will.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Just make sure you secure that gray filing cabinet. Yes.
I will. Hey, QT, you said you're from, where are you from again?
Well, I grew up pretty much in Longview, Washington, the mean streets of Longview, Washington. Yes.
Well, you need to make sure that your buddies in Washington hear about Hakeem Zayn. You need to let me know about some good promotions down there, so maybe we can get a carload of guys and we can go down there and tear it up.
Oh, well, all right. I'll tell you what, Hakeem. I'll keep you on my list of potential members for the vicious street gang I used to belong to, the Venti Lattes. We were named after an extra tall coffee.
Oh, yeah, all right. I prefer cafe mochas, but, you know, venti latte, not bad.
Yes.
It sounds harmless.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Now, Hakeem Zayn, the next time you run into Ace Perry, have him tell you the story of how I once went to the hospital with Ace Perry's signature on my chest. It's one of his favorite stories.
Okay. All right.
Now, in the course of your career, I'm sure you've had the same bumps and bruises that most wrestlers get being in the ring. Have you had anything more serious than that injury-wise?
Luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had anything too crazy In training, I had a bad concussion. I've been, you know, knocked for a loop in the ring a couple times. Broke my nose. Broke one of my metacarpals when I was grappling. Broke a metacarpal trying to block a chair shot. One of my first matches. And then nothing too crazy, luckily. I've been blessed. My body's banged up, you know, but who doesn't when it comes to professional wrestling? Other than that, no, you know, nothing that's kept me out. I've been very fortunate. My worst injury was like playing basketball and I sprained my ankle, you know, and that kept me on crutches for a while. And then messing around at a party and I broke one of my, the bone in the middle of my foot. So other than that, nothing for wrestling. I try to be, even though I do a lot of crazy, stupid stuff, not as crazy and stupid as some people, but I try not to, I try to wrestle for longevity, to be honest.
What's the worst injury to someone else that you've witnessed in the ring?
I haven't witnessed it, but I heard about it recently. My, my buddy Joel Coleman had a really bad concussion where he was knocked out in the ring. And they had to, I think they had to get an ambulance and stuff. That was up in a show in Canada. And I had heard about it. And it was pretty scary, I guess. So that was the worst as far as someone close to me. That I know, you know, I consider a good friend, that I've seen. I saw when the Painkillers were wrestling one time, Jake something, he hit his head on the outside, and then when he got in the ring, he was just, he didn't, like, when he came back, he didn't even remember a lot of the match. So that was kind of freaky, too. Also happened to another one of my friends, Ace Evans. He took a really bad concussion, and it was so bad when they got backstage, he didn't even think he wrestled yet.
I've seen guys with concussions to do that.
Yeah. Yep. I felt bad. I actually gave Nate Matson a concussion, hit him with a cannonball in the corner, and he didn't remember after that. He didn't remember any of the match. He remembered the first half, and then after the cannonball, he didn't remember anything else. So concussions are no joke, man. That's scary stuff.
Absolutely. You mentioned a little bit ago about Moose being the biggest opponent you've had. There's also a guy that wrestles in the same region that you do that is now a member of the Global Force wrestling roster, Congo.
Yeah.
Now, where would you put him as far as size and strength on the independents?
You know, at a Ring of Honor camp, I got to step in the ring with him. So I guess between him and Moose, those are the two largest men I've got to step in the ring with. And size and strength, Congo's a beast. You know, and I'm very glad to see him getting what he deserves and getting some love from Global Force. That's awesome. Yeah, Congo's no joke, man. That's a big dude. And he's agile, too. That's scary. When he's coming off that top rope giving you a giant splash, that's definitely a scary sight to see.
He's also the maker of some extremely fine wrestling gear. Now, you yourself have some very nice gear, I've noticed.
Yes, my first pair of trunks ever. Mm. And it's from him, and I love them.
Now, who that you have come across on shows would you consider to have the best-looking wrestling gear right now?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Man, who does have... Owen Travers? Usually has some great wrestling gear. Joel Coleman usually does. Idris Abraham, another fantastic talent. Somebody that people should watch out for. He has some great wrestling gear right now. His might be my favorite. It's very, really cool look. It's really cool. I like it. He has a they have this really cool sparkle to them, but it's not like flashy sparkle. It just, with like this gold sash around, it just looks really cool. And he's such he's a short guy, but he's pretty like thick and stocky. So yeah, his gear looks really good.
At this point in the show, we have a game we like to play called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I will ask you a series of two options. The one that you most prefer, that would be your answer. Are you up for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Sure, let's do it.
The first one, pin or submission?
Submission.
All Japan or New Japan?
Oh, you talking old? That's a tough one. I have to say New Japan just because they're making waves now.
Gary Hart or Jimmy Hart?
Jimmy Hart for longevity.
Libraries or museums?
Museums.
Water or sports drink?
Water.
Golf or volleyball?
Volleyball.
Gordon Soley or Ed Whalen?
Gordon Soley.
Chain match or no disqualification match?
No DQ.
The final one, 16-foot ring or 18-foot ring?
18.
Speaking of rings, on the independent level, you find rings of every type of safety and aesthetic appeal. What's been your favorite ring to work in so far?
Ring of Honors. Probably my favorite ring. Either Ring of Honors, like the one at their camp, or I don't know whose they had at one of their, whatever show I was on, but I have to say their ring, fantastic. And there's also one in, it's Hardcore Harry's ring down at White River Wrestling, which I think it's also the same one they use for Infinity Pro, so I'd have to say that one.
Have you ever come across a ring that looks so bad that you refuse to wrestle in it?
I've never refused to wrestle in a ring. I have wrestled in some very, very tough rings, but I still go out there and just try to work around whatever obstacles we may have.
Have you come across a situation where the ropes break in any of your matches?
I can't remember if I think I did. I don't remember, but I know, I swear I did. I like the bottom rope was busted or, yes, you know what it did. One of the middle rope or bottom rope was broken and, you know, show goes on.
That it does. One of the overlooked aspects a lot of promoters take for granted is the good referee. A bad referee can really hinder what could have been a good match. A good referee can take a bad match and make it really watchable. In your opinion, who are some of the most overlooked and underappreciated referees out there?
Rick Vivian comes to mind right away. He doesn't ref as much as he used to, but Corky Robinson, really good referee. When he first started, he was all over the road. Great ref. Of course, Brian Gorey. Most people should know him from Ring of Honor, but I knew him from Michigan, from XICW in Detroit before that. Steve Bruno, another XI guy, that's fantastic. And I guess it that I know of. I know there's a bunch of other guys too, but I just don't know their names personally. Those are the guys I know personally that I always love to have for my match. I've had some bad refs too. I won't name any names, but I've had some guys that you're just like, oh, why?
Now, without naming any names, have you ran into the companies where the promoter just grabs a guy and says, hey, you could ref, and sends him in there?
Yep, I've seen that, and I hate that. Can't stand it. So I have gone to it, and it's actually worked out where the guy was actually really good, too. But still, it's professional wrestling. I don't care on what level of independent we're on. If you want yourself to be taken serious, well, then you have to have guys that got trained. You have to have guys that take themselves serious. Because I take it serious. Like, I'm trying to go somewhere. I want to get signed somewhere. And, you know, whether people like me or whether they don't like me, I'm taking it serious. So if I go to a promotion, I want them to take it serious as well. Because I'm going to give you my 100%. I expect you to give me your 100% as well. Or else we don't have to do business anymore. You know, it's as simple as that. And not to sound like a jerk or anything like that, but I just take it really serious. And I wish everybody else took it serious too.
I would concur with that. One of the big things that's come up in the last year or so for independent wrestling is the indie wrestling channel on Roku. A lot of promotions are trying to get on board with that to get the exposure of a global audience. What's your opinions on this, if you've seen it? And do you think that this is something that's going to be beneficial long-term for independent wrestling?
I haven't seen it, but I'm all about it. Like I was saying earlier, there's so many guys out there that have talent, but they don't get the recognition they deserve. I saw a meme on the internet that kind of really explained it. It said something about wrestling fans being like want to cheer Rollins, Ambrose, and Kevin Owens because they're from the indies, but don't even want to go out and support their local indie show. You know what I mean? I've had so many conversations with people that talk about, oh, I love professional wrestling, and man, blah, 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 I'm such a huge fan. But all they watch is WWE. And obviously WWE is like, it's the mecca, you know, everyone, you should be watching it. But they say, I love wrestling, and they'll watch some of the well-known independent brands, but then they don't want to give these other shows a chance. Now, granted, you do go to some shows, and they're not good. You know, and it sucks because sometimes you go to a show and it turns them off to going to other shows. But, like, for instance, I'm going to put over our next XI show, our big XI show, October 3rd. You have Buff Bagwell, you have Rhino, you have the American Wolves, you have Silas Young. All top names are going to be on this show, right? Not only are those guys, you know those guys are going to kill it, but the rest of the roster that's there, they're going to kill it. You know, like, give guys like that, give guys like me a chance, because we're going to be the guys, if we get that opportunity, we're going to be the next Seth Rollins, you know, or we're going to be the next Davey Richards, or we're going to be those guys. And even though we may not have wrestled at this huge indie promotion that's, you know, well-known right now, because some of those guys we can't get a shot at, but sooner or later, someone's going to give us the opportunity, and we're going to be that guy like, oh, where'd these guys come from? We've been here the whole time. So we just got to get a shot. That's all it is. We just need an opportunity, and I think it's great for Roku and stuff like that. People just need to watch it and give it some attention. That's the thing.
Well, we have just a few minutes left in the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, if there's anything you'd like to plug and promote, upcoming shows, social medias, your merchandise, your favorite pet store, whatever it is, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, September 13th, XICW. You can go to XICWDetroit.com. I highly recommend it. We're the best kept secret in indie wrestling, hands down. We got a big show coming up at the Ritz in Warren, Michigan. It's going to be the House of Truth, the original House of Truth. I know you see him on Ring of Honor a lot, but we are the OGs. It's Truth Martini, myself, and the Scarbonis. We'll be taking on the Monroes and Orlando Christopher. And plus, there's going to be Joe Coleman versus Rhino. Rhino's going to be there. It's going to be a great, great show. And then September 26th, down in Bloomington, Indiana, it's going to be Infinity Pro. I'm involved in an 8-man scramble. Another great show. I think Ohio 4K might be there again. They're going to be battling the Painkillers. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, that's the feud that's been going on, but maybe they'll do something different. But I think that's what might happen down there. And then October 3rd, that's the one I was talking about. That's going to be at Imperial XICW. Again, that's the one with Rhino, Silas Young, The Wolves, Buff Bagwell. It's going to be myself and Orlando Christopher in a steel cage. We had a crazy show at our last Imperial. We went on last. The crowd did not sit back down. As soon as we went outside the ring, we wrestled for a half hour, and we tore it up. So, and that's after, we tore it up after Colt Cabana, we tore it up after DJZ, we tore it up after all these well-known guys, and we managed to keep that crowd on their feet for a solid half hour while we kicked the crap out of each other. So, and then I'll be down, I think it's, whatever Saturday is, either October 24th or 26th, I'll be back down in White River, Indiana for WRW. Again, it's going to be me, well, it's scheduled to be me versus Ace Perry 2. Last time, you can check it out on YouTube. It's one of my favorite matches this year. It's under, if you look up Hakeem Zayn on YouTube, I have a my page. You'll see it'll say promos and matches. Along with Ace Perry and myself is on there. It's a fantastic match. We go to town, so give it a look, man. Look me up on Facebook, Mad Dragon Hakeem Zayn. Look me up on Twitter under at Hakeem Zayn. That's HakeimZayne. I'm hungry, I'm talented, and I want to succeed. But in order to succeed, you got to bring the people. The people got to get your name out there. So get my name out there. I very much appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show, man. I also appreciate that.
Our pleasure to have you. And fans, that show we reference is the 24th of October. So get out there for Ace Perry versus Mad Dragon Hakeem Zayn 2. I'm guessing you will walk to the ring with the knowledge of how I ended up with Ace Perry's signature on my chest at the hospital.
That's right.
Well, fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestlings. Check out Hakeem Zayn if he's on a show near you. Well worth the time to go out there and support if he's on the card. And we will talk to you Sunday afternoon. We have Johnny Rock out of the state of Tennessee on the show, so join us then.